Tensions run high between European leaders over a controversial tax plan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. British Prime Minister David Cameron meets today with his German counterpart Angela Merkel in Berlin, and the two leaders are expected to clash over a proposed tax that could go into effect all over Europe, a tax that would help countries deal with their debt. Marketplace's Stephen Beard explains.
Germany and France are both rooting for the so-called Robin Hood tax. This would take money from Europe's rich financial institutions and give it to Europe's poor, over-indebted governments. The proposal is to levy a charge on all financial transactions, like the sale of shares, bonds, and fancy derivatives. It's believed this could raise $70 billion a year. But Britain, with Europe's biggest finance industry, is vehemently opposed, and with good reason, claims Philip Booth at the Free Market Institute of Economic Affairs.
Financial transactions will just disappear to another part of the world. No money will be raised, and an awful lot of the financial services industry will be substantially undermined.
He believes much of the business would flee to New York and other financial centres. In his talks with the German leader today, the British Prime Minister will underline his opposition to the tax, pointing out that financial services account for 15% of the UK economy. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Spain is preparing to vote for a new government this weekend. It's the latest Eurozone country to feel big pressure from the bond markets. Yesterday, Spain had to pay its highest bond yield since 1997, dangerously close to the 7% interest rate that indicates investors may not have confidence that Spain will repay its debts. The BBC's Sarah Rainsford is with us now from Madrid with the latest on that story. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
How does this election play into the economic situation there?
It's hugely important. The economy is really the only issue anyone's been talking about. All the candidates and the whole of Spanish society wanting to know how this general election can change a very dire situation in Spain, where almost 5 million people are unemployed. And in some parts of the country, more than 50% of the young workforce is out of work. So very difficult situation and absolutely critical to solving Spain's problems.
And we've also seen the rate, the interest rate for Spain to borrow going up and up. What does that mean?
Well, it means that whoever is in power after this election will have a huge task on its hands, a really big challenge to convince investors, to convince the financial markets that Spain is solvent, that it can pay back its debts, and to bring those borrowing costs down to a sustainable level. Now, what we're expecting is to see huge austerity measures here, a lot more spending cuts, particularly in the public sector. And I think what that means is we're going to see a lot of social unrest here as people are going to be very, very unsatisfied that things are already difficult and they're going to get much tougher.
Yeah, social unrest. I mean, what are the people on the streets of Madrid and elsewhere in Spain thinking about all of this?
Well, there's a mixture. I mean, you have to take into account that it looks like the opposition Popular Party, a centre-right party, is going to win by a landslide. So there's a lot of support for tough measures, for what people see here as a safe pair of hands to take over the government. But on the other hand, there's a lot of more traditional left-wing voters who are extremely worried.
The BBC Sarah Rainsford in Madrid. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Europe shares are down by an average of about 0.75%. Asian markets lost about 1.5% today. The clothing chain known as Gap saw profits fall by more than a third last quarter. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 134 points to close at 11,770.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
A week to go until all those big bargains kick off the all-important holiday shopping season. Stores are opening early for this Black Friday, some as early as Thursday night, as in Thanksgiving night. But that's making some folks mad, like employees and some shoppers who have started petitioning, calling for stores to open later. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Anthony Hardwick has worked for Target for 3 years. And this is how he learned about the store's midnight opening on the day after Thanksgiving.
You know, it was just kind of like, this is what you'll be working on Black Friday. Take it or leave it. And most people are so desperate to keep their jobs that, you know, obviously we've got to take it.
Hardwick has a full-time job elsewhere and only works part-time at Target. So we started an online petition, calling on the chain to sleep in until the lazy hour of 5 a.m.
I felt that I needed to stand up for the folks who are full-time and Target's their only job.
His petition has drawn over 150,000 supporters and inspired similar complaints against other early openers like Walmart, Toys R Us, and the outlet chain Tanger's. Rick Malorani started a petition calling on Best Buy to open later. He says he's building on the work of another movement.
Occupy Wall Street has given us a good push, and people are starting to say, you know, we don't just have to lay down and take it. We do have options. We can get noticed.
What the Occupy movement has done more than anything, it has changed the dialogue.
Sociology professor Richard Sullivan of Illinois State University says workers are at the point where they're telling their employers they can't take it anymore.
My pay hasn't gone up. I don't have good benefits. My hours might have been cut back. And now I have to go in on Thanksgiving.
Both Hardwick and Malorani say they'll be able to eat their Thanksgiving dinners whenever they want. Since they started their online petitions, their managers have let them know they'll have the early shift off. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, we've heard a lot about planes being stuck on airport tarmacs. Passengers on one aircraft in Austria last weekend sat waiting for hours, not because of weather or mechanical problems. It was a standoff that erupted between the Comtel Airlines flight crew and more than 180 passengers. The crew wanted money for jet fuel to finish the last leg of the flight, which originated in India and was headed to Birmingham, England. After 6 hours, security guards escorted passengers off the plane to the terminal's ATM machines, where they collected more than $31,000 to pay for the fuel. The airline and the airport are investigating that incident. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
There are a lot of weapons used in wars between nations. Take currency.
So if you cheapen the dollar, other countries retaliate. They cheapen their currencies as well. So it sounds good at first, but it degenerates and can be very dangerous.
Use with caution, though. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Currency Wars, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.